We're through 60 minutes and beyond. This is the Flames Talk Postgame Show, now available on Apple and Spotify. Here's Pat Steinberg.
Time for our postgame coverage on this Monday night. The Flames have won 2 straight and 4 of 5. They win their second game on this 6-game road trip with a 5-2 win over the Philadelphia Flyers. Welcome to our Flames Talk Postgame Show. It's Pat Steinberg, Peter Labardius, and Derek Wills along with you. And our Flames Talk Postgame Show is available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. We're coming at you from the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studio, the local experts for basement waterproofing, sump pumps, crawl spaces, foundation repair, and radon mitigation. For all things basement-y, visit dlbasementsystemscalgary.com. We'll head back to Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia, get some post-game reaction from a member of the Flames. More checks inside the Flames locker room, and we'll also hear from head coach Daryl Sutter, all after a 5-2 victory in Philadelphia. And Lou, a victory the Flames needed, knowing the type of roster they were playing on the other side. Philadelphia absolutely decimated by injuries and got way too close for comfort there for about 12 minutes, but the Flames end up getting the 2 points, and they get them tonight in regulation.
Yeah, it wasn't a Picasso tonight in Philadelphia. There's no doubt about that, but the Flames will take the 2 points and get out of town and get ready for another team from the state of Pennsylvania. There was a stretch from about midway through the second until that turnover that made it 3-2, where I really liked the Flames game tonight. I thought they were in control. Didn't love the start. You could tell they were coming off an emotional game and knew that they weren't exactly facing the Flyers at their best. But as I said, Pat, at the end with Derek, some nights you play really good and you're not rewarded, and other nights you know, I wouldn't say the Flames got away with one tonight, but they were certainly not at their best or as good as they have been in some games this season where they have been on the wrong end of it.
It's funny because on that last road trip, the Flames might not have had their A game, but I would say they had their A-minus or B-plus game in all three games, and they came home with one of a possible 6 points. Tonight, they probably won with their C game, and they got away with that because the Flyers were without six of their top players, one defenseman and 5 forwards who all, when healthy, play prominent roles for John Tortorella's team. But the Flames, despite the 3-goal win, did have to scratch and claw a little bit in this one. You have to give the Flyers a lot of credit. Shorthanded, they really battled from start to finish, and we thought that would be the case because when you know you're the second most talented team on the ice, you know that you have to outwork your opponent to give yourself a chance to win. And I thought the Flyers did outwork the Flames when you look at the entire body of work tonight. But the Flames, by far the more talented of the two teams, opportunistic, get a couple of empty net goals to make the game look more lopsided than it actually was. But, hey, a win is a win. And even though the process wasn't great tonight, the result was. And when you're a team that just went through a 7-game losing streak, I think the results are more important in the process, at least in the short term. So take the 2 points and head to Pittsburgh and try to get 2 more.
Big reason why they were able to come away with the victory, the play of Jacob Markstrom in net. Let's get to tonight's save of the game brought to you by Shane Holmes. And Jacob's save of the game comes in period number 3.
Brovrov slides it across the line. Here's D'Angelo to tip it to the front of the net. McEwen to Farabee, robbed by Markstrom from right on the doorstep.
And seconds later, Blake Coleman scored an empty net goal that sealed this hockey game. And that is one of the 23 saves made by Jacob Markstrom tonight. And that's his save of the game brought to you by Shane Holmes. For every save a Flames goaltender makes, Shane Holmes makes a donation to Kidsport Calgary. Visit ShaneHolmes.com, the better way to build. Markstrom picks up the victory, Derek. He improves to 8-4-2 on the season and had to be very strong in this game. He allows the 2 goals, but does not see a ton of shots, but a good chunk of the shots that he does see were pretty dangerous ones from Philadelphia. Markstrom really dialed all night long.
100%. He had no chance on the first goal, which went off a body before beating him, and the second goal was a bad giveaway by Andrew Mangiapane. So Jacob Markstrom, I thought you could argue, was the Flames' best player tonight, and I know Blake Coleman had a goal and a couple of assists in his 400th game I'm told he was one of the three stars on the Sportsnet television broadcast, even though he wasn't in-house at Wells Fargo Center. But Jacob Markstrom, for me, was as good as any Flames player on the ice tonight. And you know what? Sometimes you've got to win games in different ways. Last season, he led the National Hockey League with 9 shutouts, still looking for his first shutout of this season. But you think back to Saturday, and it was a game that neither team could reel in. The Flames had 2-0, 3-2, and 4-3 leads. The Panthers battled back and tied the game all three times. You go to overtime, you go to a shootout, you go to 5 rounds in the shootout, and Markstrom was the better of the two goaltenders in the shootout. Tonight, the Flames weren't great in front of him with their details, but I thought he did a really good job tracking the puck. Didn't really get himself into any trouble. And I thought he just had a really solid performance, Lou. And that was good to see as Jacob tries to build himself up again.
Yeah, I like it a lot. And I know that it's going to take some time and, you know, a heck of a run if you're just a numbers person. But I'm a wins person.
Yeah.
And I'm a can you make the big one when it matters the most? And he did it again tonight. I thought he set a great start for his team when they were a little sleepy and, as you referred to it, Derek, a couple of times, sloppy in the first. I thought he did excellent work there. Didn't have that much to do in the second period. But after being, I think, as surprised as anybody in the rink on the turnover, that save he makes off of Joel Farabee at 3-2 down the stretch won them a hockey game.
Pat, just out of curiosity, what were the chances tonight?
High danger chances were 12-8 Philly, 7-7 at 5-on-5, and then scoring chances 22-19 Calgary, including 19-12 at 5-on-5. But the high dangers swung Philly's way tonight.
And when you consider who they didn't have tonight, Travis Konecny, Sean Couturier, Scott Laughton, James Van Riemsdyk, Cam Atkinson, Ryan Ellis, pretty impressive that they outchanced the Flames in this hockey game. And I think that is just a testament to how good Jacob Markstrom had to be.
It is a testament. And he had an excellent night, and his team needed him to be at a high level, and he was.
Lou, some other positives in this one tonight. Dylan Dubé snaps a 16-game goalless drought with a 2-0 goal in the first period. We saw Blake Coleman in his 400th NHL game finish with a couple primary assists and a game-sealing empty netter. Those are two that jump off the top of my head to me. What other positives do you see in this one
tonight? You know, I really like the pairing of Hanifin and Anderson tonight.
Which, by the way, was our marquee matchup for Country Hills Toyota.
Yes, and I thought they were very solid, and Rasmus had an excellent night, and I thought Noah was just fine in his play, too. Great to see Rasmus get rewarded with a goal. Remember, that was a fortuitous bounce for the Flames. That one went off a stick on its way in, so you know, good night, and do you want to take Kirk live?
Yeah, let's do this. This is Associate Coach Kirk Muller talking now post-game following a 5-2 win.
You know, to come out in the first period and have this start that we did, I thought was important for our group, you know, and I think that first period just kind of led into the three periods, you know, in a good complete game. Well, I think you got a combination. You know, Back's been probably one of our most consistent forwards since day one this year. And, you know, he has that two-way type play that stabilizes the line and, you know, gives John a chance to create some offense. And, you know, Coles is he's a chaser, you know. He's, you know, that's his game when he's at his best and, you know, when he hunts pucks. And so when you get, you know, playmaking and a combination of working together and chemistry and they're, you know, they're veteran guys, you know, it makes for a good line.
Can having two guys who have that north-south straight line help a playmaker like Jonathan, who's going to be creative, but he's going to know that there are guys in the right spot? Right?
Yeah. I mean, he can still make the plays, but like you say, I think it, you know, they're starting to be, you know, familiar with each other, but there's consistency of where they're going to be. And I think he's finding those areas that, you know, to make those plays of them. And, you know, so, you know, it just the chemistry has been there for them.
Kirk, what were your thoughts on Coleman tonight? The kid from Plano, Texas comes out in his 400th game and has a pretty big night.
Well, it shows our game's really growing, isn't it? You got Texans playing 400 games in the NHL. That's pretty, you know, that's pretty special. I know I played in, when I was in Dallas, you saw you know, the rinks being built and the kids playing hockey there. And he's an example of those kids that have come up now and made the NHL, and not only for a few games, but, you know, to play 400 games is quite an honor. So, and he, you know, he had a heck of a game to finish that 400 games. Yeah, yeah. So he's it's a nice memorable game for him.
It seems like the first two goals when you assist on them, that's just the hard work. One created the turnover, one got back to the point.
Yeah, and that's his game. You know, I mean, that's what he does well. You know, he's you know, he's like a hunter. You know, he attacks and he creates turnovers, and you know, he plays relentless. And when he's playing his best hockey, that's what we want from him. That's what he does. So. You know, those two guys are smart enough to read off of it and capitalize off of it.
Kirk, on those first two goals, like, I know everyone wants to see on the highlights of the night with the two-on-one setup, but how important is it that guys are kind of willing to be selfish sometimes on that play?
Well, it's it's like empty nets. You know, we say, you know, there's one time you can be selfish in hockey, and that's when the goalies pull it. Don't be looking for that extra play, like bury it, you know. And same thing for two-on-ones, you know, we've talked about as a team about, you know, the right opportunity and, you know, making your play and capitalizing, you know, when you get those opportunities. And, you know, we had a couple in the first, like you saw, and it makes a big difference when you bury it. And, you know, it's a hockey decision whether, you know, you have the opportunity to shoot the puck, you know, and those guys did a good job on beating a good goalie.
It's been a while since Dylan Dubé found the back of the net. I think it was opening, but how have you seen his game sort of trending?
Well, it's funny, you know, everyone brings something different to the table. And when he's skating and, you know, he's hunting pucks, he's at his best. And that line was good tonight. And, you know, dudes was skating really well. And when he has that opportunity to capitalize on his shot, you know, he took advantage of it. So that's a perfect game for him to keep building on. And that line's been pretty good for a few games there back home before we hit the road. And so I think having a good road game is going to be a big plus for that line and confidence. And he's a kid that, you know, he's a momentum type player, and you know, that's something to build on tonight.
Thanks, Kirk. Yep. There you go. That is Flames associate coach Kirk Muller from Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia. Kirk and the Flames take a 5-2 win over the Flyers on this Monday night as we continue along in your Flames Talk post-game show with Derek Wills and Peter Labardius. My name is Pat Steinberg. As the phone lines are open at 403-240-4444, and the text line's open at 960-960. Your phone calls and texts a little bit later on as we continue along on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. And Derek, just before we went to Kirk there, we were talking about some of the positives in this game. Dylan Dubé's goal. Lou was talking about the pairing of Hanifin and Anderson. And, you know, the Jonathan Huberdeau offense is starting to come along. And he picks up a goal, and that line gets to work there in the first period opening the scoring.
That's exactly where I was going to go before you even said his name, Pat. I really think he's starting to find his game. And as I said to Lou, I think it was in the second period, starting to look more comfortable, starting to look more confident. And when I think about the goal that he scored, so he's coming in up the right wing side. The scouting report is obviously he's a pass first guy. He led the league with 85 assists last season, the most in a single season by a left winger in NHL history. So he's a pass first guy. And what he did was kind of open up his body, and he changed the angle of his stick to make it look like it was going to be pass, right? And then he kind of snapped his wrist and put the puck just inside the post. So he got the goaltender to bite and kind of cheat to his right a little bit, and then he put a perfectly placed shot inside the post. I always say that confident players are players that are shooting the puck, and Jonathan Huberdeau had a team-high 4 shots on goal, and one of them went in. He was +2, and he is really starting to come around. We knew it was only going to be a matter of time, right? The guy's too good to struggle like he did early in the season. And I really think that, and I know that some people disagree, but I actually heard Jonathan Huberdeau say it after Saturday's game against the Panthers. Going from that team that plays, I would say, less this season than last season, but still this season, they play east-west, to a Flames team that plays north-south. That has been a huge adjustment. The system, the style of the Panthers is pretty much the polar opposite of what the Flames were last season and want to be again this season. They've certainly been way too leaky defensively, and that's something Daryl Sutter is going to want to clean up. It's funny, Lou, when he won the Jack Adams Award last year, he said, "I don't really care. The only trophy I care about other than the Stanley Cup is the Jennings Trophy, right, which is the one given to the team with the lowest goals against average." So the Flames have some work to do if they're going to win that one this season. But I just think that he had so much going on between his ears, probably off the ice and on the ice. It was, as Jason LaBarbera said when he joined us a couple of weeks ago, just absolutely paralyzing him out there. You can't play fast when you're overthinking the game. Now it looks like he's just reacting. So he's probably more comfortable off the ice now that he's been able to settle in Calgary a little bit. And he definitely looks a lot more comfortable and confident on the ice. And that's going to mean bigger and better things for Huberdeau and for the Flames moving forward.
They don't always result in goals, but boy, can he make plays.
Mm-hmm. Flames win 5-2 on the road in Philadelphia this evening as we continue along on your Flames Talk post-game show. My name is Pat Steinberg, and we head back to Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia and check in with Blake Coleman, who helped the Flames to a 5-2 victory tonight. Blake, appreciate the time. Your thoughts on a hard-fought win on the road tonight.
Yeah, I thought it was a good road win. I think, they got a bit of a banged up lineup, and I think they were, we knew what we were going to get from them. They worked hard and got up to a bit of a lead, and then ultimately a little bit closer at the end than they wanted. But guys found a way to get a win, and that's good. 2-0 on the road, good step.
Heard you talking this morning, Blake, about playing on that line with Michael Backlund and Jonathan Huberdeau. Just how is it feeling as you've started to spend a little bit more time together here?
Oh, it's good. They're both really good players. Easy guys to learn and play with, and I know what I'm going to get out of backs every night, and Hubie's obviously one of the best in the world at transition and making plays, and I think in the last couple games you started to notice just the comfort level and the plays he's making, and even the battle side in the O-zone, he's been really good for us. So it's fun playing with these guys, and a good start for us, and just got to keep building on it.
I know that you've been feeling for a little while now that you've been all around it, but the points necessarily haven't been coming. How nice was it tonight to get the couple primaries and score that empty netter to really seal this one too?
Yeah, it's good. You try not to focus on that stuff much, but it always creeps in a little bit, and I have high expectations for myself and for this team, and it's nice to have nights where you do get the reward, and obviously coming on a milestone game for me, it's special. And at the end of the day, it's just one here. You got to keep building on it and getting better.
Well, and I did want to finish there with the milestone side of it. Game number 400 for you, Blake. And I know they're just round numbers and all that type of stuff, but what does a milestone like that mean to you, knowing your path to the NHL?
I think more than anything, it's just an opportunity to take a second to reflect and kind of look at where you are, and really appreciate the path to getting to play in 400 NHL games, and how few people get that honor. And I just feel very fortunate, and I have a really good supporting cast around me, and at the end of the day, more about sharing it with them than it is for myself. So it's cool. It's just one of those things where you can step back and see the game from a different view, and then we'll see it again at 500.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've probably got a couple more milestones in you here before it's all said and done. Blake, congratulations on the big night. Congratulations on the win. Thanks so much for doing this.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
That's Blake Coleman postgame following tonight's 5-2 win over the Philadelphia Flyers. It's pretty cool, Lou, to he hasn't taken the most direct path to the NHL. There was 4 years at Ohio, and then they had to scratch and claw in the American League, but now 400 NHL games. And let's not forget, he loses one full season, only got 56 in the second Stanley Cup, second Stanley Cup year, and then obviously lost some games in the first year as well when the COVID shutdown happened.
You know where he has almost another 100 games? In the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yes.
And those ones, obviously, he would be as proud of as any, and I always like to see him get rewarded. I think he is truly one of the classiest players that has come to Calgary. This is a guy who gets it. in every way, shape, or form. He's respectful. He plays with passion. I don't know if I've ever heard anybody refer to him as the Hunter before, but I sure like it and going to adopt it. And that came out of Kirk Muller's mouth. And, I always feel good when I see him do well, because I think a lot of nights since he's been here, he's gone unnoticed, because people don't always notice little things about this sport that make a big difference and help you win. So that's how I feel about Blake Coleman.
Do you like the Hunter better than Pickles?
Much. I don't even... can you help me?
He drinks pickle juice.
Look at us in sync, eh?
Yeah, that's good.
You like the boy band.
You owe me a Coke Zero.
So pickle juice is supposed to be like really good for hydrating you. And I know a lot of athletes actually drink pickle juice, and he's one of them.
It's also good for chasing a Jameson shot. They're called a pickleback.
That sounds disgusting.
If you're a degenerate like I am.
Well... You know what?
Where are you going to go with this one, Lou?
No, can't do it.
You know what?
I'm not. If,
well, he's never seen Rocky, so.
I'm just fresh off off the COVID list, so I'm going to give the guy, he had to do a little extra work when I was gone, so I'm going to give him give the degenerate a little break over there.
Oh, he got a bonus, Lou, so don't worry about him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Tripled the pay.
Okay, let's move on, shall we? Hey, while we're there, you two pickly guys. I like the sweet dills myself.
The sweet yum yums?
Oh yeah.
Oh.
Have you had the sweet and spicy pickles?
No.
Oh, I'm gonna buy you guys a jar for
Christmas. No, don't, because I'm never gonna eat them. Although maybe pickle juice would help when you have COVID. Maybe I should have tried that. Yeah. Here's our player with heart tonight.
It's brought to you by the HeartFit Clinic, Lou.
Thank you. I need to see them one of these days, by the way. And Blake Coleman is the recipient of my choice tonight. He was not named a star in the building, but he certainly, I thought, was one of the Flames' best players tonight on the ice.
Blake Coleman, player with heart, brought to you by HeartFit Clinic. For HeartFit assessments and proven treatments not available at your doctor's office, visit heartfit.ca. So the Flames 2-1 on this road trip now. Game 4 is Wednesday against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Flames have now won 4 of their last 5, Derek, as they head in to take on the Penguins in a couple of nights. Some final thoughts from you two gentlemen as we start to wrap things up with the dynamic duo.
Well, the Flyers were in a bit of a pickle tonight because they were without...
I knew it. I could tell by your body language you were sitting all over that thing.
And because Blake Coleman, whose nickname is Pickles...
Yeah.
He had one goal and two assists in his 400th career NHL game. Just to echo what you said, Blake Coleman is one of the classiest players that I've met in this league. Just a consummate professional on the ice and off the ice. It was good to see him get rewarded offensively in this hockey game tonight, because, we haven't probably talked a lot about him and his struggles offensively. He came into this game with 2 goals, 4 assists, and 6 points in the first 17 games of the season. But I think one of the reasons why we weren't talking about what he wasn't doing offensively is because of what he was doing defensively. Wasn't having a lot of luck with the puck, but was playing at a really high level without the puck. So you cut guys like that more slack. But great reward for Blake Coleman tonight with 3 points in his 400th NHL game. And as you said, Lou, it wasn't a Picasso. Wasn't a Rembrandt either for the Flames. They win this game by a final score of 5-2, but the 2 empty net goals at the end of the game certainly made it look a lot more lopsided than it actually was. I tip my cap to the Flyers. Without not only 7 players, but 6 regulars and 6 of their best players, they gave the Flames pretty much all they could handle tonight. Outchanced them, and Jacob Markstrom came up big and made some really impressive saves and important times in this hockey game. And you know what? I think everybody inside the Flames dressing room and a lot of people outside of it got tired of hearing about how important the process was, because ultimately, if the results aren't there, the process isn't really going to matter if you don't make the Stanley Cup playoffs. Well, the process still needs a little bit of work, but the results have started to come for the Flames. They lost game 1 of the season-long 6-game road trip to the Lightning, but they've bounced back with back-to-back wins since then, and now they're trying to build something here. We'll see if they can pick up 2 more points in what I'm sure will be a tough game against Crosby and company when they play the Penguins on Wednesday.
There are some nights if you choose, you can be highly critical. And I did not love the Flames' overall performance tonight against a very shorthanded team. But what's really important on a night like tonight is you do whatever it takes to win. And their goaltender, I thought, really gave them a solid start, made a massive save, and they got some good production and some production that you hope kickstarts some people. I did like the Kadri line a lot tonight, despite Andrew's turnover that he would have loved to have back. He had an assist, and Dylan had a goal, and I thought they were way more all over it. And I still think that, you know, their game, if they stay together, they're a line difference maker when you think about matching up against other good teams, and they are going to play a very good team playing some of their best hockey in Pittsburgh on Wednesday. And you know what goes really well with pickles? Cheese. And I love me some cheese.
You're going to have a charcuterie board when you get home?
No, I'm not, but I'd love to. I would have had one on the weekend, but, you know.
COVID got in the way.
Oh, COVID got in the way of a lot of things on the weekend.
Well, good to have you back.
Well, it's been fun. I had a good night.
I've also been told by somebody in the know that Blake's nickname is also the Texas Tornado. So there's that as well. So
that was, I like that.
That was from somebody in the know.
See, I like that one a lot.
That one's good.
Perry Plano.
Exactly. Bye, boys.
Bye.
Good night.
Derek Wills and Peter Labardi is signing off on this Monday night following a 5-2 Flames win over the Philadelphia Flyers. Hey, phone lines open, 403-240-4444. Text line open, 960-960. We'll get to your phone calls and get to your text coming up very shortly. Call now, text now, as we continue along on your Flames Talk postgame show coming at you from the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studio. The local experts for basement waterproofing, sump pumps, crawl spaces, foundation repair, and radon mitigation. For all things basement-y, visit dlbasementsystemscalgary.com. 5-2 the final. Flames win in Philly. This is Alpine Credits Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Hey, it's Haley Salvian from The Athletic. I host Hockey Central 960 from Tuesday to Friday at 1 o'clock on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. For a look at the latest on your Calgary Flames and NHL news, go click and subscribe to the Hockey Central 960 podcast. While you're there, please rate and review the show.
Let's continue breaking down the game, plus take your calls and texts. This is the Flames Talk Postgame Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan or on demand wherever you get your podcasts.
Flames win 5-2 in Philadelphia. Flames Talk Postgame continues from the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studios. It's Pat Steinberg along with you on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Call now, 403-240-4444. Text now, 960-960. We'll get to your thoughts on the text line and the phone lines in just a second following this 5-2 victory. We've already heard from Associate Coach Kirk Muller. We've heard live from Blake Coleman, who had two assists and a goal in this one tonight. And now we hear from Dylan Dubé, who snapped a 16-game goalless drought with a first-period goal. Let's hear from Dylan postgame in Philly.
You know, the finding a way to finish this one out. Eventually, I know you get a little pushback there in the third, but, you know, just to try to find a way to close this one out.
Yeah, I think it was good for our group. I think, you don't want to give them only have a one-goal lead with that time left, but I think it's good for our group to secure that. It gives us confidence to win in a tight game like that. There weren't too many shots for the game. It was a hard-checking game, so I think to lock it down there is important for us.
Yeah, I know you've talked a lot about Jacob Markstrom. He get a couple of big saves there in the third period, but what has he meant kind of to your group here over the last little stretch?
It's been great. I think even since the day he came in here, he's a competitor. He works hard. He takes a lot of ownership, and you see it in tight games. He steps up, so you feel very confident with him on the ice.
Is that where this team wants to be right now, where it's kind of a different, I won't say hero, but a different scoring leader every night?
Yeah, we have our top guys who are very consistent with it. So, you expect them to score big goals, and expect everyone throughout the lineup to step up as well at night. So it's important that everyone's bringing their best every game, whichever that may be.
Was that similar to your first goal when it was, I'm shooting this the whole time, or was there a debate?
No, it was a debate. I was up in the air on that one. I think, Z with his one-timer, he's got a heavy shot. I shaded over, I was going to give him the pucks, and I decided to shoot.
There you go. That's Dylan Dubé, and that decision ended up being a good one. Snaps a 16-game goalless drought with his goal in the first period. Dylan Dubé post-game following Calgary's 5-2 win over Philadelphia. A little bit more coming up. We'll hear from Jonathan Huberdeau before the end of the Flames talk post-game, and lots more to get to from you as we continue reacting to this one. Let's get to the text line for the first time tonight at 960-960. We'll start with Mike, who says, solid road win tonight. Some drama at the end, but the Flames deservingly won in the end. Good to see the Backlund line continue to be productive. Thought that line was excellent. Back end and Markstrom were solid as well. I think it's probably fair to call this game what it was. Just a team taking care of business against a struggling, depleted team. Take the 2 points and call it a night. And sometimes those games can be tough to play in because the other team knows that they don't have most of their NHL forwards. And so there's really only one way for them to have a chance at having success, and that's playing that brand of, you know, kind of really boring, clog it up type hockey, which at times they did successfully. That's kind of the way that you are able to give yourself a chance, and that can be hard to play against as the opposing team. So get the 2 points and get out of there, and that's what the Flames did tonight. I agree with you, and I also agree that I thought that line with Huberdeau, Backlund, and Coleman played really well again. I'm liking the way that thing's trending. I really am. And you take a look at them tonight, they were pretty dominant out there at 5-on-5 for 9 shot attempts, 4-3 against. Scoring chances were 4-0 Calgary and 2-0 at high danger when they were on the ice, and they did that with a 33% zone start, offensive zone start ratio. I am all for, and I know that some disagree. I know that, you know, we've had some talks on the round table. We've had some talks on this show. I just think I think there is a lot to the idea of Coleman, Backlund, and Huberdeau staying together. And I think that there's I don't know. I'm continually intrigued about a duo of Backlund and Huberdeau together, and I'm all for them staying together, especially when, again, you take a look at 5-on-5 ice time and you take a look at even strength ice time, and Michael Backlund played 16-10 at even strength tonight. That was more than Lindholm, and that was more than Kadri by a significant margin. So that allows Huberdeau to play a ton at 5-on-5. Like, they're not a third line, and that's the one thing that I'll keep pushing back on. Michael Backlund is not a third-line center, and the way that that line is used with those two is not a third line. In fact, ice time-wise, they were a first line in this game tonight because they played so well. So that's why I keep thinking there's absolutely something to the combo of Backlund, Huberdeau, and whoever. And I think Coleman is a great fit because Coleman and Backlund are so darn good together that I think that there is a potential long-term fit there. I really, really do, especially with the way Lindholm, Rzeczka, and Toffoli have played. I like the idea of that going forward. And I know some disagree, and that's fine. And I think it's a fun conversation. It's better to be having conversations about, you know, multiple potential good fits as opposed to what the hell do you do, right? This says, great game. Got to ask, why is Mangiapane the team's worst forward the vast majority of the season? Not a topic of conversation. He's unable to stay on his feet half the time, and when he could, he just misses the net with shots and can't make a decent pass to save his life. Drives me nuts. I don't really, the staying on his feet thing is the weirdest thing to me as to why that's always an issue on the text line. Like, oh, he falls down too often. That, to me, is not a criticism. It's neither here nor there. He skates at an NHL level, don't worry. You know, as to the other part, yeah, we talked about it on the pregame show. Lou and I spent a good chunk of that. He's got, what, 6 points on the season. That's 7 points now with the assist tonight. He's just, it has not been good enough offensively for Mangiapane, and then he makes a really bad decision and throws it right into the middle and right under the stick of Farabee that got the Flyers right back into this thing. Mangiapane's the first to say he needs to be better. The Flames absolutely need him to be better, and I do think it's been better of late. But they do need him to be significantly better going forward. This says, do you think the Flames will get back to a level of play compared to last year? Or do you think it's going to take them a year to gel so they can get back to what they were last year? Well, I don't even know. Like, I think that it's a different team, different brand of hockey, and they're going to do things differently than they did last year. I do think it's still going to take some time, and it's still going to take some learning and adjusting for them to hit their optimum. I just think that when they do, it'll look a little bit different than it did last year. This says, Pat, I love the way the team was able to close that game out. Big game from Coleman. Love to see that for his 400th career game. I hope this game, especially late in the third, will silence some of the Markstrom haters. Hope they can keep this thing rolling. Go Flames, go. Bob says, actually, no, we won't read that one. And you know what? That's about it for the text line as of right now at 960-960. Lots more time for you to get your thoughts in on the text line. Get those in as we continue along in your Flames Talk post-game show, or give us a call at 403-240-4444. Phone lines are open as well following a 5-2 Flames win on the road in Philadelphia. This is your Flames Talk post-game show with Pat Steinberg on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Let's continue along at 403-240-4444 as the Flames take a 5-2 win over the Philadelphia Flyers. Let's say hello to Dolsky. Dolsky, I need you to turn your radio down, but what's going on?
Sorry, I'm just in a bar in Montreal, Pat.
Oh, there you are. Okay, it's not your radio. It's some background noise. Nice. How are we doing, bud?
Not too bad. We just finished some trivia here. I just watched the game on the old mobile, so I was pretty stoked to see the win against the Flyers. Was pretty jacked up and watching, a lot of heart, and I thought Milan Lucic showed up tonight. Blake Coleman, Jonathan Huberdeau setting the tone early was just a great shot. And as a Flames fan, getting to watch some of the reaction on Twitter and how good it feels, we're a good team and we beat a team that wasn't as good as us. It feels good on a Monday night. What do you think of the game, Pat?
I could barely hear you there at the end. You got a little scratchy. Can you repeat like the last 10 seconds there?
For me now?
Yeah, so just repeat the last like 10 seconds of that question.
No problem. I was going to ask what your thoughts on the game. I really thought the last 5 minutes of the third period we might give up a game, but there we definitely stomped it out pretty much. 5-2 win feels good, right?
Yeah, I think that they played. I think they played a pretty solid game, all things considered, especially knowing the circumstances on the other side. I thought Markstrom really battled all night and played really well. I thought that there was a couple of real positives for me in this game. Number one was Jonathan Huberdeau really starting to find it offensively. Number two, Dylan Dubé scores for the first time in 17 games and snaps that 16-game drought. I thought that the Coleman line, he had 3 points with Backlund and Huberdeau, played really, really well once again. And then I liked the way that they were able to, even though Philly had a couple of chances to tie, I liked the way that in the third period there, the Flames made sure that they closed out 2 points in regulation. So it wasn't perfect, but I thought there were some good things for sure.
Some amazing things to build on. Agree. Like Huberdeau, after he scores the shootout goal, you just see him happy. That's what I've wanted to see for so long, and I just believe in him. And I honestly, I'll keep singing Coleman's praises. Watching Blake Coleman play hockey right now, that's a good player making smart plays, and I think he's going to create a lot for us the next coming games. I'm pretty excited for December the 1st, so I'll give it to all the rest of the Flames Nation out there, but I just hope everyone enjoys the win tonight, and all the best to you, Pat. Good night, Bon Montan from Montreal.
Merci. I appreciate it. That comes from Dolsky on the phone lines following a 5-2 Flames win in Philadelphia. Now let's say hello to George on the Flames Talk post-game show. What's up, George?
Not much, Patty. How are you tonight?
I'm good, man.
Good to hear, my friend. So, I really like, not only have I liked Huberdeau here lately, but I really like the line he's playing on. And I know a lot of people think that he has to be automatically, he has to work with Lindholm and whoever's on that line. But I don't see it that way. Like, if you look in Florida, he wasn't playing, to my knowledge anyway, he wasn't playing a lot with Barkov there, right?
Not last year anyway.
Not last year. Right, and the guy still put up 115 points.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so sometimes chemistry is a weird thing. For whatever reason, why it wasn't working at the time with Lindholm, I don't know. And maybe in the future it will. But right now, I'm not touching that. Like, I'm not moving them away from Backlund and Coleman anytime soon. I'm not in a hurry to do that at all. I think they're all a good fit together, specifically with Backlund. And you can say the Backlund bump or whatever. You know, a lot of it is Huberto too. But that's a good fit. You can number that line whatever you want. I don't care about the numbers. The bottom line is they're getting the ice time like a top line, and they're producing right now, and they're helping the team in many other ways other than producing. So, like, I'm fine where he is right now.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that tonight that line was the number one line in terms of how they were used at 5-on-5 and how they played. They were the best. I thought they were the best line all night. And so for me, when you see that, like, it just for me adds a little bit more to the intrigue as to what a Backlund-Huberto combo could be. And I really like Coleman playing there too. So look, it doesn't mean that Huberto is a third line player or a second line player or whatever. It just means that, you know, right now the Flames don't have a bona fide number one line, and that's okay. Because they don't, like, last year they had a number one line. And it was maybe the best line in hockey, and it was great. It won them hockey games single-handedly, but they don't have that this year, and they don't necessarily need to have that this year. I think balance is one of the big things that is going to be important for this team having success. And who knows, you know, maybe in 2 weeks' time or a week's time, Huberto's back playing with Lindholm, who knows? But for now, I think that there's something there with Backlund and Huberto, and I think that there's, I guess for me, I think there's more of a chance for a long-term fit than some others do, and we'll see if it ends up working out that way or not.
I'm with you, and I love the point you made about balance, Patty. Yes, last year we had probably the best line in all of the NHL. Problem with that was, though, we were more or less a one-line team last year. There was a big drop-off from line one to two and so forth.
Yeah.
If things go the way they should go this year, the balance for me, if this team can make the playoffs, will be far more important, and I think will give them a better chance of success in a playoff-type atmosphere as opposed to last year, where you saw what happened with Edmonton when Gaudreau and Tkachuk and Lindholm got shut down. That was it. Like, nobody else is doing anything, you know? And it's very important. I think it's almost more important to have that balance. Now, in saying that, yes, you do need your top players to be top players wherever they're playing up in the lineup. First line, fourth line, second line, whatever you want to call it. Your top players need to be your top players at the end of the day. But I think the balance is more important. And like I said, I am not expecting at all to win a division this year. I do want to make the playoffs, and ideally I would like to finish in the 2 or 3 slot in the Pacific. But for me, it's more important to make the playoffs, and then by then have the chemistry and have that balance to be more competitive in a playoff series, especially if you play a team, if you happen to play a team like Edmonton again. I think that's very important. So I'm not looking past that fact.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I mean, look, they're going to be in tough to win a division this year with how Vegas has pulled away, and it's going to be tough for them to do that. And, you know, it's going to be a dogfight to get the one of the 3 Pacific Division spots. I'm with you. I think that is a solid goal for them to work towards. And that's why you just want to see them build their game as the year goes along. Because I think if they build their game with the roster they have, I think there's a pretty decent chance they will be in one of those 3 Pacific Division spots when it's all said and done.
Buddy, bottom line is, I'd rather make the playoffs in the 3 slot or even a wild card then win the division. And you see what's happened the last time they won the division, both times. First time they went out in the first round. Second time they got, let's be honest, let's call it what it is, they got destroyed by the Oilers. So at the end of the day, what did those division wins and that the Western Conference win that year, what does that mean at the end? Like, what do you remember more, the playoff exits or those division titles, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, if they get into the playoffs, you know, and more importantly, Patty, if they're playing well going into the playoffs, I'll have that comfortability factor. You know, that's what's important to me. So, again, it was a depleted Philadelphia team tonight. Kudos to them for the effort. They played a certain style and they did it well. But this is a game Calgary, you know, should have had and did have. And, you know, it was ugly at times, but, you know, a win's a win, and they need to start putting points up on the board. So that's good. I'll leave you here with the final question, my friend. But what have you thought of Nazem Kadri lately?
He's dropped off, for sure.
Yeah. But I'm okay with it. I think with
you're never going to get cheated on effort. You're never going to get cheated on the tone setting stuff. I think he's capable of playing better than he has the last couple of weeks. I think he was probably riding some adrenaline in the first little stretch there, and I think for him, he's still learning on a new team, and there's some learning curve there, and I think the adrenaline early on probably helped him through that, and now maybe there's a little bit more of that going on, but I think he'll be fine.
So do I. The thing I love about Kadri, I love his leadership qualities, and I love the effort, and he is give a damn meter. It's an 11 out of 10, so
yep.
He'll be fine. All right, my friend. Great talking to you, buddy. I hope you have a wonderful evening, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Georgie. 403-240-4444. Flames victorious 5-2 on the road in Philadelphia as our Flames Talk postgame show continues on a Monday night. It's Pat Steinberg along with you. Phone lines open. Text line open at 960-960 as well as we say hello to Travis. What's going on, Trav?
Hey, Pat. How are you?
Good.
I didn't get to watch too much of the game, but another win. They're kind of, what have they won, 3 or 4 or something like that?
Four or five.
So, we got to be pretty happy with that. Started strong, had a little lull, and now they're kind of getting on track. So I think, when you see the 3-2 goal, you're a little bit nervous just because they've blown some leads this year. But, I think we got to be pretty happy. And then to see Huberto get the first goal, I think that's just like what we all want to see, and probably that's obviously what he wants to do as well. So I think it's pretty important. What do you think of the game tonight?
Yeah, it wasn't a masterpiece, but they fought hard. I like the way that they did what they needed to do. Like they did what it took once they were up. Once Philly got within one, rather, they did what it takes and made sure that they closed out the 2 points. So there were some real positives in this game. There were a couple of stretches there that weren't very good. That giveaway from Mangiapane that led to the 3-2 goal was poorly timed. But for the most part, I thought they played well. They were opportunistic. Markstrom was good for them. So more positives than negatives in this one tonight for me.
You know what I really like about Huberto is he's not scared to throw a check, and he's not scared to get quite involved in the game. Like, I know that's not obviously what I'm scoring, but that's what I really like about Huberto. And he's just bigger. Like, just comparing to Gaudreau, because we had Gaudreau for so long, I think that's, for me, some of the biggest differences that I like in Huberto.
Yeah, I mean, he always has played with a little bit more physicality, it's something that's always been a part of his game. I just like the fact that he's been more dynamic offensively. His playmaking, his distribution's been really, really good of late. He's been shooting it. He's played with a whole lot more confidence. That is evident. I just think his overall game is really starting to find it, and that's exactly what the Flames need.
Yeah, no, it's been pretty good for sure. I don't really have too much else, I don't think, right now, Pat. So, I guess maybe, what do you think is going on with Mangiapane? Maybe you already talked about it, but I didn't get to listen or watch everything.
I don't know. I think part of it is that it's just not going in for him. I think that's part of it. Or there has been a little bit of that anyway. So I think there's been, at this time last year, everything that he touched was going in. This year, it's a little bit different. So I think that could be a little bit of it, or part of it is that, sometimes hockey is and the NHL, there is a significant luck and uncontrollable factor that goes into it. And I think part of that has been factored into what we've seen from Mangiapane so far this year. And I think that as a result, there can come a little frustration in that regard. But I think more than anything else, he just, as it's gone on like that, his details and stuff, they just haven't been quite as good. And I would not suggest that he has been, you're never going to get cheated on effort or work ethic or anything like that. But he needs to be around it a little bit more. He knows he needs to be around it a little bit more. One of his strengths is, always kind of following the puck around, or the puck following him around, as Derek likes to say, which is just to say that he always seems to be in the right spot. He always seems to be ahead of the play, and that he needs to get back to that, and we need to see more of that from him going forward here.
And, you know, that's even something to look forward to. Maybe not everyone on the team is offensively where they need to be right now. So
for sure,
you know, going down the stretch here, that could be a benefit to the Flames, as well as I think the Flames, they said, has had the hardest schedule. Maybe that was a few games ago, but one of the hardest schedules to start the year too, I believe.
Yeah, it depends based on a couple of models. Yeah, they've had a really hard schedule so far.
And then one last thing, just any update on some of the injuries? Sorry if you already talked about it, but Brett Ritchie or Mark Stone or any Mike Stone, sorry.
Well, Michael Stone's back on the trip. He's still on IR, but he's been close to 100% for about a week now, I believe. He was skating back here in Calgary. He's joined him now in Philadelphia. So I think he's close, could return maybe as early as Wednesday. Don't know on Richie.
Cool. Thanks, Potter. You do a good job, my friend. Talk soon.
Okay, man. Talk to you soon, Trav.
Yeah, bye.
Phone lines are open, 403-240-4444. Call now. Flames win 5-2 in Philadelphia. Text now, 960-960. More of your phone calls, more of your texts as we continue along on your Flames Talk post-game show. My name is Pat Steinberg. Let's go back to Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia, though, and hear from tonight's opening goal scorer. Third goal of the season for Jonathan Huberdeau. Offensively, his game really starting to come along. Let's hear from Jonathan Huberdeau post-game following tonight's win in Philadelphia.
Talk a little bit about what you saw on that on the play where you scored on.
Two on one. I think we haven't had too many this year, so it's nice to get one. And I kind of try to keep it simple. I said I don't think I ever shot a two on one too. I mean, Cozy was open too, but it was nice to get that one for sure.
Another one of those games where you get a little bit of pushback with the resolve from your group. You know, how does that, you know, a couple of games like that to be able to come up with the wins, and what does that do to build the group?
Yeah, it's good. We battle, and it's another good win for us. And we haven't got two in a row on the road, so, you know, feels good on that road trip, so we got to keep going. And I think, you know, tonight was a good game.
Still some work to be done in terms of you guys tightening up in the third period. Is that the way you guys feel?
Yeah, obviously we had the lead and got to keep it. But at the end of the day, you know, we know there's going to be a pushback at some point, and you know they score. But I think we stuck with it, and you know I think you finish it off. So that's all. That's all that matter. I think we didn't allow too many goals. So that's good.
Can you talk a little bit about the night Colsey had?
Yeah, he was good. I mean, it's been good playing with these guys, and I think Colsey 400 games, so that's pretty cool. And to cap it off like this, it's awesome. He works really hard, so that was great to get a nice 3 points.
That is Jonathan Huberdeau post-game following a 5-2 win on the road in Philadelphia. Tonight's Alberta-made player of the game, brought to you by Wild Rose Brewery, was a Sherwood Park product, Sherwood Park minor hockey product, Carter Hart. The goaltender allowed 3 goals on 27 shots, 2-on-9 in the first, 1-on-6 in the second, and then made all 12 stops in the third period. Carter Hart was tonight's Alberta-made player of the game. My name is Pat Steinberg. As our Flames talk post-game show continues, we're coming at you from the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studio, the local experts for basement waterproofing, sump pumps, crawl spaces, foundation repair, and radon mitigation. For all things basement, visit dlbasementsystemscalgary.com. Flames Talk post-game show continues. Flames win 5-2 on the road in Philadelphia. They are now 4 out of their last 5 in the win column, and they've won their last 2 on this 6-game road trip. Game 4 of the 6-gamer is Wednesday in Pittsburgh. Phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. Text line's open at 960-960. Let's get back to the text line, as we got a few more to get to. This says, on the Kadri front, doesn't help that his wingers are the two that need to up their game. Agreed. That is also true when talking about a previous caller asking about Kadri. Josh says, Pat, they played good tonight. That Monge giveaway was brutal, but it was good to see that he wasn't too rattled by it. In my opinion, Markey needed a game like that tonight where he stays above a .900 save percentage for his confidence. I think Markstrom starts against the Penguins on Wednesday, Vladar on Friday in Washington, and Markey plays the Canes on the back-to-back. back. I think it's a good think that's a good schedule. I went into this saying I would have gone 4-2 myself. I still would go 4-2, but I don't know if they're going to go 4-2. It might end up being 5-1. I think Vladar will get at least one start. Whether or not he ends up with two will remain to be seen. This says, the new lines work as long as Ruzicka keeps it up. I've wanted to see Huberdeau with Bax and Coleman for a while now. Most balanced lines, and Backlund could have a career year with a skilled guy like Huberdeau. This says, Pat, if Phillips is called up, does he require waivers to send back down if it doesn't work? No, at least not right away. So because Phillips has already cleared waivers, if he gets called up in the next little bit here and then is on the roster for less than 30 days, then he won't require waivers to go back down. Now, I believe that is the case. I know there's also a time period that plays into it, but I don't believe Phillips would have to clear waivers because he's already cleared once. So off the top of my head, he would not have to. Like, I know for sure that if you've cleared waivers once and then get recalled, if you're on the roster for 30 days or less, then you don't have to clear. But the only thing I'm not 100% on is if you spent a certain amount of time in the American League, if you have to clear again. But I don't believe so. So I don't think he'd have to clear waivers going back down. What else we got here at 960? This from Tim. What do they do with Vladar? I don't know, man. I think that they probably play him at least once on this road trip. I would have gone twice, but I think he'll get at least one. Will in BC says, tonight really a 3-2 win, and I didn't like the second goal the Flames gave up. But having said that, overall a less than stellar win. But guess what? Markstrom 920 tonight. If he's 820, a different result. So kudos to him. I really hope he's finding it. There you go on the text line at 960-960. Let's get back to the phone lines. It is last call for phone calls. If you want to call now, you can do so at 403-240-4444. Give us a call now following a 5-2 Flames win in Philadelphia. Let's welcome Mike to the program. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how are you?
Good, man.
Yeah, I just want to get your thoughts on, okay, I'm going to bring up Kadri again, the Kadri line, okay? I myself don't think that that Dubé fits on that line for some reason. I just don't know why they're adamant on having Dubé on that line. But I guess where else would you slot him, right?
Well, I mean, there's a lot. I mean, he was playing center a little earlier. So you could do that if you wanted to. I actually think there is decent potential with him playing on that line personally. He scored tonight, so I actually didn't mind that line, especially in the first 30-40 minutes of this game. So I think right now letting that go for a little while longer is the way to go. That's me.
Right. Yeah, okay. So okay, enough of that. But okay, I want to talk about also Daryl Sutter's comment regarding Nikita Zadorov.
Okay.
Okay, I think that's, you know, completely wrong to do that, but I mean, I'm not a coach, right? But the thing is, Zadorov made some mistakes today, you know, tonight in tonight's game. I don't know. Did you see them?
I mean, there was one play that he made that was that ended up, I guess, probably being a giveaway, but I thought he actually played a really solid game tonight.
Yeah. Oh, there's nothing against Nikita. I'm just saying, like, and I thought Kanev played a great game, but
he did.
And Markstrom. It was good overall, but again, it's one of those one-goal games, which is nail-biting always, right? I mean, they had a two-goal lead. I was like, they came back, and I guess Philly came back, and they popped one and came closer in the end, but it was good. I'm glad they pulled off the win. But what do you think of Daryl Sutter, his coaching methods? Like, obviously nobody's going to argue his coaching methods because of the fact he's got a good history, right?
What? So what's the question then?
Yeah, just the way he talks to the media. You know, you're trying to read, you're just not knowing what he's thinking, if he's trying to He's kind of like black and blue, right? Like the way he comes out saying things, right? Like,
so do you want, know,
just like a
so you
message,
want,
right? Like,
you
how
want
do you, my, how do you read what he says? Like, everybody reads it, you know, can read it in different ways, right?
So is that, and I'm honestly not trying to be a jerk, but like, is there a question there, or is that just your opinion?
No, sorry. Yeah, what I wanted to know is, like, what do you think of the way he speaks with the media, the way he talks about players? Like, I think how he talks about players, you know, and
I think that he's a very calculated man. I think that he knows exactly what he's doing every time he says something about a player, good or bad. Yeah.
Right.
I think that, you know, in his mind, it's all about motivating players and using that as a tactic to get more out of guys that he feels he needs more out of. You know, in terms of his coaching tactics, I think that he is absolutely relentless with his players. And I think that a lot of times and with certain players gets a ton out of them. I think that he can be a very demanding guy to play for, but he gets a lot of results when he's demanding, and he has gotten a lot of results out of this team. So he's relentless. He's demanding. He okay is not okay, all that type of stuff. But, and I think sometimes that can be difficult on different players. You know, you got a coach that's hard, that is that hard on you sometimes. It absolutely can be a grind for certain players. But, you know, his track record is pretty solid of being able to get a lot out of players, but he's definitely hard on guys. He is not an easy coach to play for. There is no doubt about that.
Yeah, exactly. Not an easy coach to play. Again, I'm not questioning his methods, right? But for me, sometimes I think, I guess a good coach, you know, you gotta push their buttons and make sure that the guys are, you know, playing up to their compete level, right? Which, you know, you never know, right? If they are or they aren't, right? Because every game's different, right?
Yes.
Anyway, that's all I wanted to say. Thank you very much for the call.
All right, no problem, Mike. Give yourself a great night, hey?
Yeah, you too, bye.
Thanks, buddy. Let's continue right along and welcome Ryan to the program on the Flames Talk post-game show following a 5-2 win. What's going on, Ryan?
Oh, you know, we don't get geopolitical on the show here, but I tell you that Nikita Zadorov's the one reason that I'm still in good favor with Russians. I think he's a wonderful, wonderful, funny guy that does great interviews over the summer and everything. And I think if anyone needs a good pat on the back for having some energy, it's Nikita. And I don't think that the established veterans like Noah Hanifin, who is on the back of my new reverse retro jersey as it was approved by Mr. Steinberg.
I like it.
It has yet to arrive, though. I think Weir and a little Raz will be all, they're all okay here, and that they're not number one in Sutter's heart right at the moment.
No. Well, and again, that, you know, and Daryl came right out and said it, Ryan. Like, he said that, you know, it's a positive for Nikita, but it's also an indication that other guys need to get going. He came right out and said that. And that's why I said to that last caller, Mike, that just hold on. Let me finish
on
the
that
sentence.
Tangent, but, yeah.
Just let me finish the sentence, and then like, I think that's exactly what I think that exactly what I was saying to Mike is that Daryl knows exactly what he's doing when he says things. So was that absolutely some praise on Nikita? For sure. Was that also him saying other guys have got to be much better? For sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that with a lot of there's the funny letter Keith gets about the hockey media and the token questions and their get pucks deep. And, you know, I think anything that mixes up the press conferences with the Sutterisms is refreshing. And sometimes when he's not grumpy, but just being kind of like a minor Belichick, it's quite funny, I think. So I enjoy him in that sense, just in response to the last caller. Not to disagree with him, but yeah, I enjoy Sutter and his media relations.
Okay.
Anyhow, I was going to, let's see, I did take out a few notes here about what I want to talk about. I thought it was great that that Philly came out and played hard and actually gave the Flames like a really good challenge. They seem to be really cohesive. It kind of reminded me of how the Kings played the Flames last year, just fast, and they were connecting on all their passes and everything, which seemed really impressive considering I imagine there's a lot of those players who don't have a lot of experience playing with one another if they're called
or a lot of experience, period. There's a lot of new NHLers or guys playing much higher up the lineup than they're used to right now, that's for sure.
Yeah, their passes were just going like tic-tac-toe. It was great. I was really impressed. And the effort was all there. Let's see. I was going to say. Oh, yeah. And definitely that the offense is always going to be your best defense. I thought tonight that the team didn't, like, lay off the gas and start falling back. Like, I especially noticed that Tampa played us that way. They had a two-goal lead, and they still kept going after it until maybe 8 minutes left. I think that the team last year did that. They didn't try and protect leads. They just kept playing. And that's always good to see.
Agreed. That was a big thing for this team last year was when they had the lead, they did a nice job staying on it. And I think that's, you know, when this team finds their groove, I think that that'll be a big part of what they do this year too. And I thought there was a little bit of that in this game tonight until the Mangiapane giveaway.
Yeah, yeah, that was but he was gonna get hit there, and I don't know, I don't want to be hit either. But again, I'm not a hockey player, but I saw that. But I forget Mangiapane, and just like with patience, he's with Kadri, so we say Kadri's struggling, Mangiapane's struggling. They happen to be together, and they'll fix it. I'm confident by sample size. Not relevant to the game, but I got a job for the Portland Winterhawks. So I did. We have two Calgarians on our team now, so I'll be rooting for them. Marcus Wynn, so he's an 18-year-old out of Calgary. I'm now connected. Let's see, anything else that I want to add for Pat? I'm happy too. I think the Flames will win the Pacific, most definitely, very confident, and that there's no correlation between like a totally poop playoff performance and winning the division. I don't think that.
No, and I don't. That's in response George's to head. George's call. I don't think that's what George was saying. Do I think they're going to win the division? I think that they'll be in tough because that's a lot of ground to make up on Vegas, but I don't think it's completely out of the question either.
Yeah, Vegas is showing a tendency, you know exactly what Vegas is. Yep, so anyhow, very enjoyable game. Everyone played great. And I wanted to say, very especially for me, because born in Calgary, raised in San Jose. When the Sharks came around, that's when I fell in love with hockey. Much like Blake growing up in Plano, I'm sure when the Dallas Stars came there in 93-ish, a couple of years after the Sharks, seeing people like Dustin Wolf grow up in my area, because I'm sure that's directly correlated to the Sharks going around. I think that's really cool that cities like Dallas and the Silicon Valley are producing talent now. And I mean, there's an Austin Matthews from the Bay Area as well.
No, he's from Arizona.
Austin is?
Yep.
I was born in San Rafael.
He was raised in Arizona.
A lot of people get shipped down to Chandler, Arizona to do sports. Maybe you're right. But, Dustin Wolf's from the Bay. And
yes. No, but
from Plano,
so Austin Matthews was born in California, but was raised in Arizona.
Yes. It's not Chandler, is it? Did he grow up in Chandler?
I believe he grew up in the Scottsdale, Phoenix area.
I'll look it up. It's just a token sports city where all the talented kids move to. It's not fair for all the neighboring towns. Anyhow, too much rambling. Have a great night.
Yeah, you're all over the place tonight, Ryan. I love it.
You know, it's an Adderall shortage in America. So you have a good night, Pat.
See you, buddy. I love it. That was funny. Let's continue along. Flames win 5-2 on the road in Philadelphia. Let's say hello to Adam on the Flames Talk postgame show. What's up, Adam?
Not much. Just calling from the city of brotherly love.
Oh, in Philadelphia. Nice.
Yeah, we went down for the game. I came down with wheels. I went to watch my Steelers get beat up yesterday. That was kind of sad, but
Oh, it's Adam M. What's going on, buddy?
Yes, that's me with, you know, wheels.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Danny came boy. Down, and this is our first time in seeing that arena. It's beautiful. You know, they're telling me they just did like a $350 million renovation just to the club area. It's gorgeous.
Nice.
And they were, the fans were nice. The staff was nice. Like, it was really, really, really good experience. But probably one of my favorite arenas I've been to, actually.
I have been there only for an NHL draft, so I've never been there for a game.
Okay. Yeah, it's really nice. And we're going to the Pittsburgh game on Wednesday, so it should be fun.
Nice.
Yeah, about the game tonight, I had a question. You know that goal that Anderson got there near the beginning? It looked to me like Kadri tipped it, but I was there, so I didn't hear if they changed it to Kadri.
They didn't, and I don't think that he did. He provided the screen for sure, but it was actually Farabee who got his stick on it, and that's what redirected it. So I don't believe Kadri touched it, but Farabee redirected it on the way in there.
Okay, yeah. So when you're there, you know, you don't get to see all the replays like you do on TV. And
right.
Now, after talking about it, I thought I would check since you were watching it. But, yeah, I had a thought. Like, I know Kadri's playing really well with Backlund. Sorry, Huberto's playing really well with Backlund. But you know, I always thought maybe if that thing didn't work out with Lindholm to try Kadri with Huberto. Have you seen them? Have they played together other than on the power play?
Yeah, I think they played one or two games together on a line.
Okay. Okay, that's funny. Yeah, I mean, they're playing really well with Backlund. Like you were saying earlier, he's definitely not a third line, but if they're playing well together, then he better, right?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think there's any, at this point, I don't think there's any need to make any changes to the forward lines the way they are right now. They're working. And, you know, you've got the option if all of a sudden things dry up to do something else, but I don't know. I think there's something to the Backlund. I think about how well Backlund played with a really good player in Matthew Tkachuk and how good that line was. And I think about how Huberto elevated a line with Sam Bennett on it last year. I just don't think it's crazy to think that Backlund and Huberto could be a really, really solid tandem and solid forward duo this year. I'm looking forward to seeing if that's something that maybe can last a little bit longer. Term, and maybe it doesn't, but I am curious about it for sure.
Yeah, I mean, if Ruzicka keeps playing well with Lindholm, I'll keep riding that gravy train while we can. So just things
exactly.
Are now on the offense, which is great.
Yep, exactly.
Well, I always thought I'd call and say hi, and haven't been a while since I called in, so I'll probably give you a call from Pittsburgh in a couple days.
Yeah, do it and say hi to Wheels for me.
I shall.
All right, Adam.
Yeah, man.
Good to hear from you, bud. And final call tonight on our Flames Talk post game is James's. What's up, James?
Hi, good evening. How are you doing tonight, Pat?
I am well. How are you?
Good. I don't phone very often, but I was just going to say that, you see, chemistry takes a while to build, so I think there's going to be something with Huberto and Backlund.
And the other thing about chemistry is, and maybe it doesn't work that way, and maybe when it's all said and done, we're talking about Huberto on a line with Lindholm in the playoffs, and that ends up being the best fit. I could absolutely see that happening, but I just know that chemistry in this league and who plays best with who is so fickle sometimes, and when you think, you know, this is going to be a good fit, well, it isn't necessarily, and then all of a sudden, somebody that you think wouldn't play as well together, and they do play really well together. And I just, it's hard to play poorly with Michael Backlund as your center. He's so responsible, so reliable, so consistent, and while he doesn't necessarily do anything spectacular, there's decent offense there from him. He's a play driver, and he's a very predictable hockey player. So, I don't know. I think there's and he's always elevated those around him, and Huberto has the ability to elevate those around him. Backlund's played very well with good players, skilled players in the past. I just don't think it's crazy to think that that could be a long-term fit. And if it's not, then I think it was at the very least worth giving it a try.
Yep, and then also I also wanted to thank you. I always look forward to the post game so I can hear your show. You do a fantastic job, so I want to say thank you to you for doing a great job. I appreciate what you do, and And I just want to say thank you to you.
Well, I would throw that right back at you. Thanks for listening, man. I really appreciate there's no show if people like you aren't listening, James. So I appreciate you. I appreciate you tuning in.
Okay. Well, you have a great night, and thanks for all you do.
Thank you. Call back anytime. Thanks, James.
Bye-bye.
And that will wrap us up on the phone lines tonight. Thank you to James. That was always appreciated to hear nice things like that. Much appreciated, my friend. That'll wrap us up on the phone lines and wrap us up on the text line on this Monday night. Flames win 5-2 in Philadelphia. Time for your final summary. Here's how we got to tonight's final score. As Calgary never trailed, they opened the scoring at 4:43 of the first period. Jonathan Huberdeau makes it 1-0 with his third of the season. Blake Coleman draws the assist. And the Flames were off to the races. Then at 13:51, Flames take a two-goal lead on Dylan Dubé's second of the year. And more importantly, he snaps a 16-game goalless drought with the goal. Blake Coleman, Mackenzie Weegar, the assist at 13:51. But 42 seconds later, Tanner Lyzinski gets the Flyers back within one. His first career NHL goal makes it 2-1. Lyzinski from Kevin Hayes and Noah Cates at 14:33. And it was 2-1 Flames after 20 minutes of play. In the second period, Rasmus Anderson makes it 3-1 Calgary as his second of the season eludes Carter Hart. Anderson from Noah Hanifin and Andrew Mangiapane at 3:29, and the Flames led 3-1, which was also the score after 40 minutes of play. To the third period we go, and Philadelphia gets some new life at 8:03 of the final frame when Joel Farabee rips home his fourth of the year. Farabee unassisted, and all of a sudden the Flyers within one. They had a few chances to tie it, were unable to convert slash unable to beat Jacob Markstrom, who was really good down the stretch, and then the Flames seal it with a pair of empty netters. First, Blake Coleman in his 400th career NHL game finishes off a three-point night. He scores an empty netter at 18:09, third of the season, unassisted, made it 4-2, and then just over a minute later, Trevor Lewis into the empty net with his fourth of the year. Chris Tanev and Milan Lucic draw the assist at 19:23 to get us to our 5-2 final score. Final shots were 29-25 in favor of Calgary. Flames go 0-2 on the power play, and Philadelphia finishes 0-3 with the man advantage this evening. Three stars, number 3, Tanner Lyzinski, number 2, Jacob Markstrom, and number 1, Rasmus Anderson. With the win, Calgary improves to 9-7-2. They're back in action Wednesday on the road in Pittsburgh, while the loss drops Philadelphia to 7-8-4. They're back on the road Wednesday to take on the Washington Capitals. That's your final summary, and now for everyone involved in Flames hockey tonight, for our broadcast crew of Derek Wynn and Peter Labardius, and for our outstanding producer, Azam Nanji. My name is Pat Steinberg. That'll wrap us up on our Flames Talk postgame show, which is available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. We've been coming at you from the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studio, the local experts for basement waterproofing, sump pumps, crawl spaces, foundation repair, and radon mitigation. For all things basement-y, visit dlbasementsystemscalgary.com. Next up for the Flames is Wednesday night. It is a 5 o'clock face-off in Pittsburgh, 4 o'clock Calgary Flames warm-up for your pregame show on your drive home. Thank you very much for sticking around with us. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your Monday night. Final score from Philadelphia, Flames 5, Flyers 2. This has been your Flames Talk postgame show, available wherever you get your podcasts. And this has been Alpine Credits Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
This is CFAC 960 AM, Calgary, Alberta, Canada. A Rogers Sports and Media radio station. Flames Radio is only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Thanks for listening. Sportsnet.ca/960 has games and times for the next Flames Radio broadcast. This is a copyright broadcast. No retransmission, streaming, recording, or copying of the broadcast in any way is allowed without the permission of the Calgary Flames Hockey Club and Sportsnet 960. Calgary's home for the Flames and the National Hockey League is Sportsnet 960 The Fan.